Well, bitter political divisions are nothing new in Congress, but our next guest says there's something to be learned from how a congressman from the past got things done. His name was Henry Clay, and he was first elected Speaker of the House in 1811, which put him at the center of the debate over slavery in the decades before the Civil War. Harlow Giles Unger is author of the new book, Henry Clay, America's Greatest Statesman. He joins us from New York. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much. It's a privilege to be here.
And I'm guessing there are a lot of listeners who do not know very much about Henry Clay. Who was he?
It's too bad they don't know, because he was perhaps the greatest statesman in American history and certainly the greatest speaker in American history, who brought order out of bedlam in the House of Representatives and created the modern House of Representatives with the Speaker as the second most powerful figure in the federal government after the president. When he entered the House of Representatives as a young representative from Kentucky, the House was bedlam. Derringer in Philadelphia had just invented a little pocket-sized pistol that everybody could carry in their pockets. And everybody in the House had pistols. Everybody in the House, they were fighting. They'd wrestle and pummel each other, roll around on the floor like schoolboys, then go outside and shoot each other in duels. Henry Clay himself fought two or three duels and narrowly escaped death. He was a courageous man from the frontier and brought order by asserting himself with his gavel and with his personality. He had a unique personality. We've had figures like that in our history, Eisenhower, Lincoln, Washington, Roosevelt, whose force of personality bring people together, people with opposite interests, and these uniters, these compromisers. Clay was called the great compromiser in his day. These great compromisers show people with conflicting interests the common ground, because in the United States, our nation is built on and based on compromise. We all have different interests, but we have to make sacrifices individually for the collective good. And that's what Henry Clay basically invented.
And you say that in the decades before the Civil War, Henry Clay preserved the Union, even saved the Union.
Absolutely. There were five major compromises in 1920, the famous Missouri Compromise, another one in 1833, 36, and 1850. These great compromises preserved the Union by bringing North and South. North and South were bitterly divided between the slave states and the anti-slavery states, the so-called free soil states. They were bitterly divided, ready to go to war with each other at times. And Henry Clay held them together and showed them how the common good would allow them to stay in the Union and fulfill his dream and President Monroe's dream, President John Quincy Adams's dream, of this great Union stretching from sea to shining sea, using its resources to become the world's richest power. And that was Henry Clay's dream, and he fulfilled that by holding the Union together during those the first 50 years of its existence, when any breakup would have allowed the great world's great powers at that time, Britain, France, and Spain, to send troops in and divide and conquer us.
Well, you say 50 years. The interesting thing about Henry Clay is he was in power for a long time, served under 10 presidents. He was the House Speaker, and then he was the equivalent of today's Senate Majority Leader.
That's correct. He had a personality that somehow drew people to each other, even bitter political foes, to show them how important the common good was for all of them. And it outweighed their personal or even local interests.
But when it comes to the Civil War and keeping the Union together, it is worth noting that Henry Clay was himself a slave owner. How did he balance that with the efforts to preserve the Union?
He was a slave owner, but deeply committed to abolition. The problem we had in that day was that slavery was a state issue. The state of Kentucky had laws that not only permitted slavery, it made it a crime to emancipate a slave. But he fought nationally and became a leader of the American Colonization Society, which was aimed at freeing slaves and sending them home to Africa.
Henry Clay died in 1852. How did the nation react? Because it really was unprecedented what happened.
Unbelievable. He was the first person ever to lie in state under the rotunda of the Capitol building in Washington. He then was taken by train, draped in black, for the people to mourn his loss. The train went to Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, by steamboat up to Albany, with people lining the shores. Cannons boomed. The people cried as he passed. He got on to his bier was put on the on a boat on the Erie Canal, and he went all the way obviously to Buffalo, then by boat down to Cleveland, then by train from Cleveland down to Cincinnati, and eventually to Lexington, Kentucky, where he was buried. Wow. And mourned by the American people, as no one had been mourned since Washington himself.
That's historian Harlow Giles Unger. His new book is called Henry Clay, America's Greatest Statesman. Harlow, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.